On this sixth Sunday of Easter, we get a refresher course on a lot of things that we've already heard the other Sundays in Easter. We hear again about abiding in Christ, as we heard last week about abiding in the vine. We hear that we are to follow what God has said, just as we were to follow our Good Shepherd. We hear that love means to lay down our lives for one another, which we also heard when we thought about that Good Shepherd. We hear again that we are children of God. We heard in our readings from 1 John also earlier. And we still hear that it is difficult for us to recognize Christ in our midst, to understand what God is doing. All of these themes we have discussed before, we have seen before, and yet here they are again today. What we hear over and over again, coming through loud and clear, is that we must follow God's commandments. We must do what God asks of us. And what this is to love one another. Specifically, to love one another as Christ has loved us. So, after hearing this, and after knowing that this is the same thing we've been hearing as we've reflected on the power of the resurrection and what God has done in Christ, clearly we should all be doing this pretty well by now, right? We should be loving one another perfectly. We should be able to rely on our faith to overcome the world and to make us children of God. Some of us may even think that's true, that we have done this well, and maybe we have. If so, wonderful. Maybe some of us know that we have fallen short. Maybe some of us don't want to admit that we have fallen short. We don't want reminders of our own brokenness around us. But wherever we are today, we know that it's important to hear these things again. We know it's important to be reminded of these commands to love as God calls us to love. Because we often fail to do this. We often fail to understand also what God is doing. We hear in our gospel reading that Jesus names us and claims us as friends because he has revealed to us what God is up to. But this conversation Jesus has with the disciples occurs just before the cross. And as we know, though Jesus was clear with them and did reveal what God was planning, they still didn't fully grasp it. They still didn't understand what God was up to. And you might think, well, that was before the resurrection. Clearly after the resurrection, they receive the Holy Spirit. God sends them out as God sent Christ into the world. Then they'll get it perfectly. Our reading from Acts today tells us that that's not necessarily the case. We have these circumcised believers who have received the Holy Spirit, who have encountered the power of the resurrection, being astounded and amazed that God would share the gift of the Holy Spirit with Gentiles. They've just heard prior Peter say, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality." And while they likely assented to that in their minds, they didn't realize the depths of that statement until they saw God share the exact same gift with the Gentiles that God had shared with them. It was only then that they realized we can baptize Gentiles. They can join us fully in our community of faith. This is our struggle as well, that we don't fully understand what God is up to. We don't fully understand what this love of God revealed in Christ looks like or what it demands of us. These commands that we have been given to love as Christ loves, to abide in Christ's love, are beyond us. Because we often get trapped in our old patterns and ways of thinking. We often get trapped in functioning the way the world works and is designed. See, people, these circumcised believers in Acts, knew well that there were hard lines here. There are clear distinctions between Gentiles and the people of God. Sure, God wants us to love all, but that love must mean the other people of God, whom God has claimed, which must be the people of Israel. That is what we have been told. That is what has been iterated time and again. That is just the way the world works. These are all the arguments that would have been made and would have been very clear to anyone. And we too continue to experience division, experience disconnection from one another, hard lines drawn in this world, and say that's just the way the world works. These lines come in a variety of ways. They can be geographical lines, national boundaries, as we lift up some nations and downplay others. They can be political lines, especially as we prepare for a primary election. We might have those at the front of our mind. These ways of thinking and perspectives of how to rule and govern ourselves that often differentiate us from those around us, creating hard lines. Perhaps these hard lines are drawn around class, skin color, ethnicity, and the list goes on. These lines tell us about how we are to treat one another, how we are to view one another. And they tell us often what our goals should be, how we are to function within these boundaries that the world has set forth to ensure our own well-being, perhaps to seek wealth or status, success, security within our given boxes that we have given to us. Yet we see today in our readings that this is not how it should be. We don't know how to break out of these hard lines on our own. We get sucked in by the functioning of the world. But of course, we know this is why Christ came, to share with us a love of God that breaks us out of the barriers and the walls we have erected and draws us into a new reality where we are united in Christ, where we are drawn back into the heart of God alongside our brothers and our sisters whom God has made, alongside these fellow children of God. This is what Jesus seeks to do. This is the goal and purpose of God in sending Christ to redeem the world, to share with us this abundant love and life. And as we catch glimpses of this love at work in the world, we continue, like those in Acts, to be amazed at what God is doing, at what God has done, seeing the ways in which this love is greater and deeper and broader than we ever could have imagined. But as we are amazed by this, as we find ourselves surprised even by this love of God, you're invited to remember that this is very proof that God still calls us friends. For it's in the realization of this love that we begin to see more clearly God's purposes. And having God's purpose revealed to us, this purpose of love, of redemption, of reconciliation, We realize that we must be friends with God. For the master does not tell the servant what the master is planning. We tell our friends. And so in these moments that we are more awakened to God's love and see the depths of it, we realize God still calls us friend and shares with us God's desire to love. As we experience this, we, like those in Acts, become overjoyed at what God has done. We rejoice that God would share such love and work in such ways, that we would then also want to participate in this love. We too would want to celebrate and share this love with all. And it's in such moments that we are filled with joy, as Jesus describes today, that these commands, this command to love, is not to be burdensome. It is to be that our joy is complete, that we might know the joy of Christ. We recognize that this is likely what our author, 1 John, meant too, that the commands of God are not burdensome. We engage them wholeheartedly and with gusto. We abandon our hesitations and our fears around others as we open ourselves to this amazing love that God has shared with us. And as we do, we discover that we no longer operate in the ways that the world has designed. We operate differently. We think about things differently as we recognize all those around us as children of God, as we recognize the way in which God has pulled us into community and fellowship with all. And so now we see that we have overcome the world. We have overcome the ways that we have functioned before that created such hard lines, distinctions, and differences that divided us from one another across the world, or perhaps those even just across the street. And yet here, this love of God is ever-reaching, telling us that yes, all of those whom we have kept at bay, those who have kept us at bay, are to know the love of God, are eligible to receive the same gifts that we have received. That God may very well be pulling them into community, into relationship with us, even now. This is the perspective we are to maintain always. It is a difficult perspective, a perspective that truly shares God's love with all, that views always a possibility of reconciliation. I think that is a challenging thing. And if that doesn't sound that way today, because, well, we're so caught up in this love of God that we think it's easy to celebrate and share it with all. We might think about what it might mean to share it with those who hold the party line view of the Democrats or the Republicans, depending on which one's harder for you to embrace. We can think about sharing that same love of God with both Israelites, the people of Israel, and with those of Gaza and Hamas, of sharing it with Russians and Ukrainians. And odds are good that one of these groups feel difficult to us, if not multiple. And we realize the challenging thing it is to celebrate and share the love of God with all. Which is why we need some help. It's why we are given the gift of this meal today as Christ enters in once more with his bread and wine, body and blood to share with us God's love. Here we recognize the truth again of how all have been drawn into this life of God as we catch a glimpse of those gathered around Christ's table, of every time and place, people that look like us and people that don't, people that think like us and people that don't. They're all here, united in the body of Christ. And as we experience this amazing love again today, may we be strengthened and nourished in our faith to go out, overcome the functioning of this world that would continue to divide us, and to find ways to work for healing and reconciliation for all. And ways to work that demonstrates this love of God that shares freely and willingly the gifts of God. And for this amazing love that holds us fast and gives us the strength and the courage to follow the command to love ourselves, all we can say, as the joy of this love overcomes us, is Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen.